right. Well, today I want to take, it'll be a little bit of a shorter message, and I'm declaring that by faith because I want to get us outside and get us having some fun. But seriously, I'm working going short of this. We talked about Sunday Fun Day, and usually what will happen in message preparation is I will pray about a topic we want to address, I'll work on the content, then we'll figure out a title. But just because of how we're approaching the summer, we came up with like, okay, Sunday Fun Day, and we're going to do fun stuff. And then I'm like, okay, I got to figure out something to preach about this. And I'm trying to think, because Sunday Fun Day is just not the most theological topic you could possibly pick. And so I was really looking at going, okay, how am I going to approach this? What are we going to go after? And you know, what really came up in my heart was, for this month, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to do some cool things. But I want to talk to you about why it's so important that we gather together the way we are. I want to talk to you about why it's important that we are here together. Why it's important that we prioritize our time together as believers. I want to talk to you about why what we do, this thing we do on Sundays, why it matters and why it's important. And so I want to talk to you about, and today really simply, I just want to take a few moments to encourage you about why do we gather. Now you'll remember last month I kind of moved away from it a little bit, but I just want to remind you about our prophetic roadmap for 2019. If you are here, you know God gave us some key things we need to pray for and believe for in 2019. And I've just, at the risk of being repetitive, I've constantly just been bringing it back to you and saying, hey, remember what God has spoken to us about. So I just want to remind you that 2019 was a year that God said would rise and fall in our prayer lives. How are we growing and how are we pushing forward in prayer? You know, we've got this coming Friday, Altered Friday Night. Why couldn't we just pack this place with people here to pray, putting a priority on gathering together and seeking God? That's how we push forward in prayer. Number two, it's a year to step out into new things that God is doing in your life. What is the new thing that God is doing in you? How are we pushing forward in that together? Don't hold back. Your destiny is outside of your comfort zone. Your destiny is outside of the boat, moving forward in what God has for you. Number three, it's a year for new level maturity. How has God been growing you? Have you been saying yes to the Holy Spirit? Number four, it's a year to grow in and develop our faith and to exercise our faith. What are you believing God for? What are we pushing for and together? Number five, it's a year to stand with our church family members who are believing for spouses. And so this is something that I'm passionate about. I'm not saying it's all going to happen this year, but we're believing with every person. You're saying, hey, this is a dream in my heart. It's part of what I want to see happen in my life. We're believing God for him to set that up and for him to bring things together. And so we haven't prayed into that for a little bit. So I'm actually going to pray into that right now. I'm not going to make you stand up or raise your hands or anything else. But Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every member of this church family that's believing you for a godly spouse. Lord, I thank you for you opening that door in the perfect timing in Jesus' name. And for many of them, the timing is like now and soon in Jesus' name. But Father, we just agree for this. I thank you for encouragement today where maybe people have become discouraged. And we just thank you for this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. One thing I'll say is my wife and I are talking about this week. One of the ways that God's going to do it for many of you, it's going to be through divine connections, through just kingdom relationships that God sets up for you. Sometimes you don't understand, but the connection through the person that God has for you comes through a person that you meet when you're just out serving God, and they know somebody, and it's like a kingdom connection. But if you just kind of keep to yourself, never expand your opportunity of connecting, meeting people, going to conferences, getting involved in missions, serving in the kingdom of God, sometimes you miss out on those divine connections, relationships. It's found as we serve God and as we pursue the things of God. And so just a thought for that for some of you. I'm not saying you have to do exactly this or that, but it's just something that was in my heart. Number six, it's a year for us to stand in prayer and action on our upcoming national elections. We're going to be doing 40 days of prayer leading up to the elections with churches all across our country. Make sure you also mark down October 12th, Fateen, Rob, and team. We're going to be doing a cry in Ottawa, so there's going to be a cry that's coming up. Make sure you mark that down. That's going to be a time of prayer and seeking God with people from all across the nation. And I also encourage you to volunteer and to get involved. I'm going to be doing for the first time, I'm going to be going and volunteering and getting involved in some way with a candidate that I believe in. And so we don't officially endorse candidates here, but I'll say this. Make sure you look at candidates. Make sure you research where they stand on different issues. If you're not sure about what issues really matter, shoot me an email. I'd be glad to talk with you about things that I think are important. There's quite a few things. But I will say this. I'm really on a drum right now of religious freedom because there's been a lot of attacks on religious freedom. And I promise you, make sure you find out where your candidate stands on religious freedom. And just in doing that, and seek the Lord, but then get involved, volunteer, and do that. And last but not least, it's a year for us to contend for revival. We're thanking God for a spirit of revival continuing to break out here and in our nation, amen? So we're doing that. So anyways, I just want to talk for a few moments about why do we gather. Obviously, Sunday Fun Day is about having fun. It's about building community. But I wanted to talk for a few moments to you about the importance of why we do this. Why do we gather together? Why do we get here on Sunday mornings? Why does it even matter? Because I realize for most of us, when it comes to Sunday service, we do it for either one of two reasons. Number one, we do it because that's what we've always done. I grew up going to church. That's what you're supposed to do on Sunday. You're a Christian, you go to church. But why? Why do you do it? Well, I don't know why I do it. It's just you're a Christian. I think you're supposed to or something, right? And so some of us do that. And then others of us, we didn't grow up doing it, but we became a Christian. We became a follower of Christ. And you just kind of figure, oh, okay, I guess we do this church thing. We go to church. And so most of us have no real understanding or revelation of why this is important. And so we're going to be talking this month about why this is important and why it is important that we gather together and why it is important that we prioritize coming together as the people of God. Because that's one of the things that I've noticed and one of the things that I've seen. You know, when I was growing up in the Witten household, there was a very high priority on going to church. And many of you will probably identify with me, you know, like we just didn't miss church. You can ask my mom. My dad's not here today. You can ask my mom. We grew up at home. Like I don't remember one, I have no memory of a Sunday where we just stayed home and did nothing. Right? Like maybe every once in a while, maybe you had something going on or something happened. But even then, my parents, I'd watch them, they organize it. They'd be like, no, well, we can do it, but we're going after church. Or, okay, we'll do this before church. Even in playing sports, my brother particularly, I mean, all of us were involved in sports. I remember though, my brother played at a very high level of rep soccer with several guys who wanted to play on the national team. So he was at a very high level. And they do like 8-10 tournaments a summer. And I remember my parents, there was this thing, but they always would inform the coaches about the priority of church for us. What we do, and there's times we'd miss games because, you know, well, we've got a commitment. And what's happening, and you know, and there's a whole thing that we go on. So we grow up in that environment. So it just was very much built into me and very much built into us that, okay, gathering with believers is important. Coming to church is important. And most of us probably will have recollections of that, depending if we grew up in that kind of environment. And again, I'll explain in a second. There was a legalistic edge that some people could go to. I'm not preaching about going a legalistic edge. But for us, there was a priority that was put on coming together and gathering before God. And it's been interesting, though, because recently what we've noticed and what I've found is that this priority is really dropping off for so many people. You know, you go back a generation ago, and even with talking with different pastors, they say, oh, yeah, very easy. You have 90% of your congregation there any Sunday. You know, just a few people are gone, but 90% of your congregation would be there. Nowadays, stats are saying that it's much more between 60 to 70% in a church will be there on any given Sunday. So 30 to 40% of people any given Sunday aren't there. They actually said now in North America, the average believer, the average Christian attends church about 1.5 times a month. Now, how they do the 0.5, I don't know. Maybe it's the people who show up at the end of worship and just catch the word. I'm not sure. But whatever it would be, it's 1.5 times a month. And this concerns me. It concerns me because this is important. And what we're doing is important. And, you know, maybe some of us grew up in a legalistic atmosphere where it was very legalistic about Sundays. And I'm not for that at all. But can I suggest that maybe the pendulum has swung just completely to the other side now, where there was so many good things that were put into us because we were regularly in the house of God. We were regularly gathering together with other believers. And the pendulum swings to the other side where it moves very low on people's priority list. And it actually hurts us. It hurts our community walk. It hurts our walking our destiny. It hurts what God is doing in our lives. And see, let me read a verse to you. The verse I want to read to you is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And it said, this is not a time to pull away or neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. Someone say, we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. Family, I'll just say it straight up. From my study of Scripture and my personal pastoral experience over 20 years now, I am 100% confident. I've come to a full conclusion that faithful and committed church attendance, as simple as it sounds, is absolutely vital for any follower of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus today, my encouragement, my challenge for you, for your family, for those around you, is that you would prioritize coming together regularly with other believers. And if you don't do this, it actually hurts your walk with God. It hurts your walk in the community of God. It actually does damage to you. See, because that's really what the heart is. I mean, some of you could look and say, well, Pastor, I don't know. You might seem to be a little biased on this message, a little biased on the point. Yeah, you know what? I do like it when people come to church. And I do miss you when you're not here. But it is more than me just trying to get your butts in the seat. This is about me really caring about you and caring about your walk with God. What if gathering together regularly was a spiritual discipline that's just as important as reading your Bible and just as important as prayer and just as important as fasting and just as important as sharing your faith? What if gathering together was just as important? And you wouldn't think it's strange for me to say to you, you should read your Bible every day. You wouldn't think it's strange for me to say, hey, you should be praying on a regular basis. In the same way, it's not strange for me to say, hey, you need to have a church, and you need to be part of that church, and you need to be committed to that church, and you need to prioritize getting together. And when it's Sunday, if Sunday's when that church gathers, you need to make sure that is a top priority, that you are coming together with other believers. Now, let me say to you a couple of things. So what I am saying, I want you to know what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that going to church by itself is enough. If we went back in previous generations, everyone went to church. And so going to church isn't enough. There's a whole lot more that God wants to do in us and through us. Keith Green, I don't know if you're familiar with Keith Green. He was kind of one of the pioneering psalmists from the 70s. And he had this famous line where he said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. And so I'm not trying to elevate just getting into the building. I'm glad you're here, but this is a starting point for more that God wants to do. But in the middle of that, it's still important that we get here, amen? I'm also not trying to come from a legalistic edge that says you can never miss church. There are always legitimate reasons for missing church. It's more than just showing up at a service. Every year, for example, right near the end of March, the start of April, my son has his provincial basketball championships. I boldly skip church to go support my son in his basketball championships. And I've had people who kind of go, whoa, you're brave. You're a pastor. You actually put that on Instagram. You're skipping church. I'm like, yeah, because we're not legalistic about it. I think it's important that I'm there supporting my son. It's important that I'm there letting him know how important the gifts God has given that we can walk in that. So I'm not talking about a legalistic approach, but I promise you as well, even if I wasn't a pastor, I wouldn't be skipping every third week for this and that, all these kind of things, because for me, it's a priority. Right, so we're not talking about legalism, but we're talking about healthy priority. I'm not talking or referring to only a traditional model of church that meets on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. For some people, that's what they hear. You got to be in a church Sunday morning at 11 a.m. No, I'm open to all kinds of expressions of church, house churches, churches. I mean, come on. When I first planted a church, we met on Saturday nights for several years. And people look at me, well, what do you do on Sunday mornings? I'd be like, I sleep. Why? Because I was in church last night, you know? People would look at me, okay, when's the real church? When's the real service? Because some people are all right, I have to call up my mother-in-law. I love my mother. She just got back from a mission trip. But she felt, she was so used to Sunday mornings. She'd come for years. We had like a Sunday afternoon, Sunday night service. She'd just go to church somewhere else on Sunday morning. Because she's like, I feel weird staying home on Sunday mornings. But that was just part of her journey and part of her tradition. But see, the point for me is it's not trying to fit into this box. But are you gathering somewhere? Are you gathering somewhere where you have a pastor and you have leaders who are pouring into your life? This is important for us. So it's not about a traditional model, but it's about the spirit of what gathering together matters. And last but not least, I'm not trying to make Sunday itself a holy day. The Bible is very clear that Sunday is not meant to be a special day. Like, it has to be on Sunday. Like, some people got freaked out when we had Saturday night services, you know, for years. One reason we did that was much easier Saturday night. It just worked better. Some people are like, are you Sabbath keeping? We're like, I don't know. We do it on Saturday night. That's when we can rent the building, right? And it worked well. And then we got older. We started having kids. People started getting married. And Saturday night didn't work out so well anymore. And I wouldn't want to do a Saturday night service right now at all. I'm quite happy with my Sunday mornings into Sunday afternoons. And so, but the point is, it's not about the Sunday day, but it's about, are we gathering? It's the spirit of God's command. Are we gathering? Are we getting together? And are we putting a high priority on it? At all this being said, guys, if we are followers of Jesus, then consistent and faithful attendance in a local church family is absolutely vital and important. Our commitment to Jesus needs to be reflected in our commitment to gather together as believers. Now, let me just, in the next 10 minutes, I want to give you four reasons why. I want to give you four reasons why I'm saying this. Why does this matter? Because maybe a lot of us have done it because we know we're supposed to do. But when you don't understand the reasons, see, God doesn't mind you asking why as long as it's done in the right attitude. A lot of times religion is always just so, well, don't ask why, just do it. Well, God doesn't mind. He gave us a whole Bible explaining why. He gave us a whole Bible, and when you get the why, right, it's like when you understand the why, you stick to it a whole lot better.
What I'm just supposed to do. I don't know why. Well, usually we fight against that. But when I understand the why, when I understand the reasons behind it, it makes a difference. So let me really quickly tell you four reasons why. First and foremost, it's because it's commanded in the Scriptures. Now, I could go off and preach on this right now, but we already read in Hebrews that we need to not forsake or neglect meeting together. You know, someone say, well, the Bible doesn't say we have to go to church. The Bible doesn't say, yo, we are the church. And I understand the language and what we talk about that, but guys, you cannot read the New Testament without seeing that there's a priority in coming together. And frankly, if you have a true reading of Scriptures, it actually would tend to indicate that one time a week isn't enough. If you actually were true to the Scriptures and what we're reading, and so there's a lot of culture around that. We do it on Sundays, not because it's a special day, but just because it makes sense. If I was to do a service on Thursday nights at 7 p.m., it'd be very difficult for many of us to make it. Sundays work well just because of the way our culture is even built. But guys, we need to do it because the Word of God commands it. And if I can get on my soapbox for 1 minute, because I only have 10 minutes to get these 4 points in, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you today for this call to be people of the Word of God. We are increasingly right now, and there's pressures on us to deny the Word of God, to pick and choose parts of the Bible. But we've got to be people who say, if God says it, that settles it, and I'm going to do it. And so if God says, Andy, I could finish the message right now, do the benediction, do the altar call, let's go get some pizza and some ice cream, because God said to do it. And if God said to do it, there's part of me I should say, that should just be enough for me. Right, there's something about embracing the lordship of Jesus in our life. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, I'm not even trying to turn this into an end times message or something, but it talks about there's going to be great falling away. And you know, I think the dangerous falling away that we've got to be especially watchful for is not the falling away where we just kind of say, okay, I'm just rejecting Jesus, rejecting Christianity, I'm going to wear skull and crossbones everywhere, I hate the Bible, you know. That most of us are like, yeah, that guy looks like he's struggling in his faith a little bit right now. What I'm more concerned about is the falling away that still looks like Christianity on the outside. That looks like Christianity, that looks like this, but it's a falling away because in our hearts, we're no longer standing with the Scriptures. In our hearts, we're no longer walking with God the way He's called us to walk with God. Now, I'm not trying to say if you're inconsistent in church attendance, you're falling away. That wasn't my point in that. But my point is, if God says it, I want to obey it. Right, I want to do it if He says to do it. And I want us all to be people who have that heart. And so number one, because the Scriptures say it. Number two, everyone say number two. Because we need each other. Someone tell your neighbor, I need you. Tell them, you need me. We need one another. Christianity is not is a team sport. There are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. There are no Rambos in the kingdom of God. Now, I never watched Rambo because my parents didn't let me watch movies like that when I was growing up. There was too much blood. There was too much violence. We just didn't do all that. But I did pick up enough that you had one Rambo and you had many evil bad guys. And Rambo would go and he would take them all out. I mean, he'd just be running. I didn't see it, but you know, you see clips and stuff. Rambo running and he's going, all these guys are shooting at him, you know, and everything's missing him. I don't know how everyone just misses him. And then he just like got his little gun, boom, boom, boom. You know, it's just one man down, one man down, one man down. I used to think that was possible until I went paintballing one day. And I thought I was going to have, you know, get the anointing of Rambo on me. I come charging out around the thing and I got hit by like three people. I'm like, this isn't real. This is fake. Right? Rambo is fake. And trying to be a Rambo Christian is just as fake. We need one another. We need each other. God never designed for us to do Christianity by ourselves. And it's hard for us because we live in an individualistic culture that is really designed in many ways to break down community, to break down connections. I don't even on purpose sometimes. It's just kind of the way our culture tends to go. We're a most connected generation through social media and yet the most lonely and disconnected generation. And see, so there's this element of we need each other. Like, you need to be with the body of Christ. There's a verse, I won't read it right now, but you can go there. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27 talks about the power of the body. We all need pastors and leaders in our lives. Every Christian needs to have a pastor. And every pastor needs to have a pastor. I have a pastor. My pastor has a pastor. We all need spiritual leadership in our lives. But we all need each other. Guys, you don't know how many times I've done this for a while now. I'll be sitting there. We're in service. We're gathering together. The anointing is moving. God is moving. And He's moving in a powerful way to minister to people. And there's people who I know should be there to receive what God is doing, but they decided to sleep in. Or they decided to go to the beach today. Or they decide to do whatever, and God had exactly what they need. So this is why I think God could just get it to me anywhere. God technically could get it to you anywhere, but God doesn't work that way. See, think about Elijah. Remember when Elijah and God said there's going to be a drought? And he said, you go to the brook Cherith, and at the brook Cherith, I will sustain you. What if Elijah stood up and said, you know, I don't really know if I need to go to the brook Cherith. God can provide for me really anywhere that I need to be. I think I'm going to go over the River Jordan. And so Elijah gets over the River Jordan. He's there, and there's no birds providing for him. There's no food. He's like, God, what's going on? I don't understand. You say you provide for me. God said, listen, I got ravens going to the brook Cherith every single day, and they're dropping food off for nobody. Why? Because I told you to get there. My provision is when you are planted where you need to be planted. And one of the enemy's strategies is to uproot you from where God has planted you. And see, but it's the consistency of being there. It's the consistency. And listen, it's not only about what we receive, but it's also about what we're called to give. What if God wants you here on a Sunday because there's somebody that you need to shake their hand and you need to pray for them and you need to connect for them, but you just had a rough week and you're tired and you don't feel like going. And so you go, well, God could use somebody else. Yeah, but maybe he meant to use you to touch that person. We need to be together because there's things we need, but there's also things we're called to give. Somebody say today, we need each other. So number one, it's commanded in scriptures. Number two, we need each other. Number three, when we are isolated, it's easier for the enemy to take us out. When we get isolated, and family, I have watched this for years now. When the enemy is trying to take things out, because you know what the word says here, and we see it here. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Anyone here watch African Lion Safari growing up? So I used to love those shows, you know, those nature shows, and they're there, and they're shooting, you know. A lot of times, my favorite ones were just the ones, like, from different nations in Africa. I love those ones especially. But, you know, you get the narrator's voice. He's like, all right, now we have the herd of gazelles walking across the, you know, and the music's kind of flowing. He's like, but then we flash, you know, we flash to the lioness who is stalking. You know, the music changes, the lioness, and it goes back, and, you know, you go, okay, something's going on. Something's going to happen here. And all of a sudden, you know, the little baby gazelle goes bounding away from the herd. And the music changes like, oh, no, the baby gazelle is running away from you. You're like, no, go back, go back, go back. You know, and then the lioness is coming, rah, you know, and this. And then baby gazelle gets eaten by the lioness. And depending how compassionate you are, you're either kind of serves them right or you're like, oh, the poor baby, you know, or whatever else you would be in between. What's my point? Lions find it easiest to take out people who've gotten away from the pack. Lions find it easiest to take away people who the devil's first job, he wants to take you down because he hates you, he hates the call on your life, he hates what God has for you, and he knows if you're in community, it's real hard to get to you. Because you might be having a rough week, but you're going to get in here, you're going to get encouraged, you're going to get challenged, someone's going to have a prophetic word for you, something's going to happen. But if he can get you isolated, and so his first strategy is not to attack you head on, it's just to isolate you. Yeah, get inconsistent. You don't really need to go. You don't need all that. And then next thing you know, it's 1 week. Then, well, it's been a couple weeks. Then it's this. And then he just waits and waits. And then, boom, he launches an attack. But we've already developed this. We've gotten into the habit of forsaking. And then it gets even harder. Right? You got to stay connected. I'm not saying, like, church attendance is the end-all, be-all, and it's the perfect solution for everything. But here's what I'm saying. I know that when I'm with my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm a lot stronger than when I'm by myself. And I know that when I'm encouraging others and others encouraging me, and sometimes it's just the fact, listen, sometimes there can be a temptation that comes against my life, and I promise you, in that moment of weakness, it is not my love for Jesus that keeps me away from it. It is not my, you know, it's not my strong faith in that moment that keeps me, because I'm human just like everybody else. I'll tell you, sometimes what keeps me is I know I'm going to be coming looking at all y'all in 3 days, and I'm not standing up there trying to preach to you being a hypocrite, because I just went, you know, sometimes it's just the fact of I got an account accountability that I know I'm with my family, and I'm like, no, I'm not going down that way. So somebody tell your neighbor, don't let him do it. Don't let the devil isolate you. The times you feel the most like not coming are the times you need to get here the most. And you don't need to sit at the back and kind of hide out. You need to get right to the front. You need to get your hands raised before God. And you say, God, my flesh doesn't feel like this at all, but I walk by faith and not by sight. And Jesus, I need you to meet me here right now. I'm not going to run away from God when it's hard. I'm going to run to him. I'm not going to run away from the fire. I'm going to get as close as I possibly can because that's when I need it the most. Don't let the devil do it. Don't let him isolate you.
And then last but not least, and I need to land this plane. Bobby, you want to come join me here? It has a profound effect on our children. Now, I know this won't necessarily apply to everybody here. We're at different stages regarding our kids. But let me just say this. Most of us have kids or will have kids. Some of us are further down the journey, can give testimony to what I'm saying. But our involvement in church will have a profound effect on our children and actually could be make or break in their faith journeys. There's so much of the kingdom that is more caught than it is taught. And there's something powerful. It's something we've worked on just establishing our family. We're not perfect at it. But we've worked at saying, hey, look, this is a priority for us. Doesn't matter. I don't go if I feel like it. Or, see, there's certain things that are just trained in you. So my parents, they did a real good job with this. I don't feel like going to church, not feel like going to church. This is a decision I've made. This is part of my walk with God. I don't feel like, who cares? I don't feel like it. But see, so there was just that model, so it's just built into us. It'd feel weird not to do it, but that's because that's the way God designed family to work. But here's what my passion is, because I'm seeing the trends. And guys, can I just say this really bluntly? Children who don't see their parents put a priority on being together in the house of God will grow up to be adults who don't see a point in Christianity. Right? Because what happens is you don't mean to, right? Life is busy. Stuff is going on. There's pressures. But we don't understand the message that we could be sending to our children, because with our mouth we're saying this is really important. But with our actions, we're not even there half the time. I'm not trying to preach it, but you don't understand my heart. Like, we're just not even there half the time. When we do get there, we're late. It's just kind of like this is not a priority by the way we're living our lives. So then when they go to university and they don't put a priority on church attendance, why are we surprised? If they move into their lives and they don't put a priority on getting together with people of God, why are we surprised? Why? Because that's what we taught them. But see, if we teach them that this is a priority, you know where I started. I'm not talking legalism. I already told you, I skip at least once a year to go to my son's provincial basketball championships. I think that's healthy and that's fine, because we even talk about it, why we're doing this, but why it's still important of our commitment to the Church of God. I'm not talking about legalism, but I'm talking about a heart and a passion that says, hey, it matters that I'm committed to get together with my church family. It matters that I put a priority on this. It matters because I've got something to give, and there's things I need to receive, and there's things that God wants to do in our lives, and I'm not going to be conformed to this world and this world's way of thinking, but I'm going to be transformed by renewing my mind. And the more I can be in the presence of God, the more I can be together with my spiritual family, the more I can put a priority on this, the more it'll transform and change my life. We want to send the right message to the generations that are coming after us, don't we? And so, bottom line, family, as we bring this to a close, I want to encourage every one of us to engage in the spiritual discipline and delight of gathering together with believers constantly and faithfully. Now, maybe there's some of you in here today, and you do this. You're like, yeah. I mean, you're the one who's cheering me on right now. You're like, come on, pastor, tell them, right? You're like, yeah, come on, this is the way I live my life. And I want to encourage you, keep going for it. Keep doing it. Don't let anything stop you from that faithfulness to commit. Now, you might be listening to me, and maybe like, pastor, ease up a little bit. You're a little hard on me today. You know, because you know maybe you're more in the inconsistent category. Here's why I will humbly want to ask you. I love you. I want to see you flourish in what God has for you. And I truly believe that consistently. I'm not even trying to say at our church. Right? Like, of course, I love having you here. But just be somewhere. Get connected. Get committed. Because things flourish when you're planted. And things flourish. And here's the bottom line, guys. You might have a real legitimate reasons for missing. But if you miss, you still miss. You know what I mean? Like, there's things that are missed. There's things that are missed in the gathering together. And so if you're inconsistent, I want to just encourage you. Seek God, but step up that consistency. We're not talking legalism. We're not talking you never miss for anything. We're not talking like you don't come to church, you're going to hell. We're not talking about all that stuff. But we're talking about a heart that says, I'm putting a priority on this. And the last one, at least, I'll say one more group of people. There's some of us in here, and you've got like very legitimate things that stop you from being consistent. And so here's my encouragement to you. Ask the Lord, have you ever prayed about that? Have you asked God, can you help me change this? You ever thought, well, you know, maybe I can talk to my boss about this, because he keeps scheduling me on Sundays. And I said this in first service. I'm not saying go quit your job. You know, my pastor said I need to quit because of Sunday. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, can we say, God, can you help me find a solution here so I can be faithful and consistent in gathering together my spiritual family? Amen? Amen. So let's just bow our head and close our eyes. I am landing the plane. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for just this opportunity we have to be here. Lord, even today, as I've been able to bring this simple word just about the importance of our gathering together, Sunday fun day, Father. Lord, I thank you for just speaking to each one of us. And wherever we're at, God, just encourage us or challenge us, whatever it is, to go forward in you. Just as we bring this to a close today, if there's anyone in here and you're not right with God, I would love to have an opportunity to pray with you. There's some people who love to pray with you so that you can come into right relationship with Jesus. The Bible says that God loves us with an everlasting love. We've been separated from that love by sin. Sin's a problem. Because of sin, we deserve judgment. But Jesus came, he died and rose again to take our punishment, to take our place and bring us forgiveness. And so just as we close here, I'm going to release everybody in like 1 second. But before I do that, if you are in this place and you say, I need to give my life to Christ, or I need to give my life back to Christ, and I want someone to pray with me for that, can you just raise your hand real quick? Anybody across this place? Thank you. I see that hand back there, man. Anybody else? Just with a hand raised. Say, I need to give my life to Christ, or I need to give my life back to Christ. Anybody else? All right, let's do this. Let's all stand to our feet.